Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today.
Hi, it's Demetrius.
Hey, Demetrius, it's Mark. They're in.
Nice. Taking it to the next level.
Launching phase two of Gable Media on October 7th.
Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Morning, everyone.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, so this past week, I have a new project that I just walked. Literally a death trap. It's an existing building. Doing a significant remodel, so we're making it not a death trap anymore. But it's but it's basically a when you walk the project, it's basically like this long skinny deep lot, and it appears to be two homes that were attached together and created this larger structure. But the homes are on different finished floor heights. So in the middle, there's like all these ramps that try to bridge the gap between the two because they use it as one large facility. And so that's just one thing. That's just the first, as soon as you walk in, that's kind of what I saw. And then as you walk around, you see like all the different rooms.
Assisted care living?
Yeah, so everybody, okay. All the people in the home were in wheelchairs, and okay. so they have to have ramps to to get around the building and in and out of the building. And when you walk around, some of the rooms do not have an exit to get out. Like, you can't get out of the building, and if you're in a wheelchair, you can't jump over a deck. You can't jump out of a window. So somehow they basically jerry-rigged doors to go into another room to get to an exit, which is a no-no. You can't go through a room. Yeah, you can't go through another room to get to an exit. So that's another thing. And then there was another instance where there was a room that opened up to an exit, and it had a ramp. And if you go down the ramp, you run into a wall. And I was like
there's a turn or there's just a straight wall, like you picked the wrong exit, like A, B, or C, and you pick C and you're screwed.
Yeah, it's just just a wall. If you were to close the door behind you and try to go the other direction, is stairs. So if you're in a wheelchair,
go from a ramp to a wall and then to stairs.
Yeah, so a literal death trap. And the people that took this place over, you know, they purchased it that way. And
did they know what they were buying?
That's the thing. And this is the thing that makes me really upset about, you know, seeing this kind of stuff, being in the building industry, is thinking about these people that take advantage of others for a quick buck. They're like, I know construction. I can do this for you. Cause as a building owner, you just need it to work as you need it to work. So you're like, I need more storage. I need more whatever. And somebody comes up to you and says, yeah, I can do that. I have a whole team that can come and bang this out for you really quick. The instance where the ramp was is, it was the side yard of the property. So that ramp basically gave them a path, straight path to the street. I assume the person that owned the building before needed more storage because now it's used as like bedding and all this other stuff. It's just a little storage space and you can see it's popped out and it's not a part of the existing building. So they popped out this little build out area for more storage, but it blocked the path of egress, exit.
And that's usually something that gets inspected, though, even like the fire authority and everybody else.
But if they don't...
our freaking building once a year, it's like annoying. You know what I mean? But
yeah. But if they don't know and there's not reason to do... I guess in this particular space, they weren't doing as many inspections as they do nowadays. So that may not have been caught. But during the actual construction, if it's illegal... and the city has no idea. It's in the backside of the property where you can't see anything. So if you're driving by as an inspector on the street, you wouldn't see it at all. So how would you know? So that kind of stuff makes me really upset because not only are you taking advantage of the person, but the people that are going to live there now have to deal with it and potentially lose their life because of some stupid thing that you did because... you're looking for a quick buck and you don't know what you're actually doing.
Well, that's the interesting thing too, right? Like, you know, fortunately I don't have anybody that lives with me that is in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. But you'd think if you had to go, you know, find a livable place for an individual that you know of or, you know, a loved one or whatever that's in a wheelchair, you'd see these things and be like, how do I get out if there's whatever, you know, and it's like, okay, well that goes to a wall and stairs.
Yeah.
You know, why would I pay you to live here? I kind of because you look at it from this way, the guy wants to make a quick buck in however they're doing it, right? If that's the term that we're going to use. But in order to make a quick buck, you got to have people that want to, you know, be patrons of the service that you're providing, right? So if the patrons have any idea what they're looking at and they're not providing the service, he's going to have to fix it the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to me. Like, I don't see,
but it's kind of an. Yeah, then you.
And that's
then,
not the point, I know, but.
And then it comes into like, is their rate?
Afford that one versus.
Is their rate much lower than comparable ones? And unfortunately, some people don't care, or they don't have family members that are looking out for them.
Yeah.
It's just someone just being plopped into a unit somewhere, but it's just so unfortunate that these type of things happen, and. Not everybody is aware of what to look for or, you know, is thinking in those steps ahead. They may look at the inside and like, oh, it looks nice. And the staff is really nice and seems like a good place, but you're not thinking in the event of an emergency, how is my family member going to get out of here? But, those type of instances just drive me insane to see. Have you come across anything or any personal experience just stumbling upon poor construction and design?
So usually this happens in remodels, right? It's not new construction. So when you're doing some type of change or you go into it, like a lot of times we're in a single family and we're doing some work for somebody that we know and they've got a GC or whatever, right? And so they're ripping out, buy a new house, they're ripping out all the showers, the floors, you know, all these other kind of things, maybe moving some stuff. And what we see a lot of times is the band-aid fix or the desire to have a band-aid fix, right? So for instance, you got somebody that goes in, they've got hardwood was installed all over, it's glued down. You tear it out, you know, it shreds the subfloor, right? Especially OSB, it just comes apart. And so it gets super spongy and soft, right? So when you go and you walk it and you're looking at like, okay, hey, you know, when are you guys putting down a new subfloor? Right. Oh, no, can't you just patch it and go over it? You know what I mean? It's always, and it's not the homeowner necessarily saying that. And I'd be okay with that because they just don't know, but it's the contractor. He's like, no, you guys just need to float it and go over it. I'm like, dude, the integrity of this thing is toast. Like, I'm like, walk over there. You know what I mean? And you can see the floor pouncing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, something's got holes. You know what I mean? Like little holes and stuff. And they just want to put a piece of sheet metal over it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we see a lot of that, and that's super frustrating. And it's frustrating for a couple of things. One, because A, it's not the right way to do it. B, the contractor doesn't know what he's doing and doesn't have a contingency in there for that to have happened when they're doing a demo. So they don't want to go back to the client and be like, hey, I screwed up. It's going to cost an extra $2,500, right? You know, that kind of thing. And then they want to put pressure on us to fix it. And so it becomes this whole back and forth. I see that a ton.
Yeah.
The other thing that I see a lot is horrendous waterproofing on showers and that type of stuff. So they still think that green board is acceptable. Dense glass, you know, dense shield, dense glass is a new product. It's a fiberglass backed product, but it's still got gypsum in it. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's not a waterproof substrate. You got to waterproof it properly. Other practices that I see, albeit not necessarily incorrect, but probably not the most of professional, is when guys are doing just like hardiebacker on the walls in a paper. So for my trade, it's usually a paper and a lath, and then you float it, or you use like a positive waterproofing system. You know what I mean? These days, but they just don't pay attention to those things and just don't care, because it's not, I don't know if they don't care, but they're just not paying attention to those things, and it's not their house. And I find out if they don't care when I start pushing on it, and they're just like, no, just do this. You know what I mean? Those kind of things. So I think that's the biggest time I run into a lot of stuff. And to me, those are the same contractors that are probably dicing up this house and thinking that's okay. You know, those two buildings that you're in, thinking it's okay. It's like, well, this is what they want, so I'll just go ahead and do it, and I'm not living here. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And I'd like to say that catches up with people, you know, at some point. But then again, you and I have probably seen stuff too where joists are being planed. You know what I mean? And it's like to down to nothing when there's like a hump, and you're like, you know what I mean? Like, can you fix the hump? Like, clearly there's a header that, you know, or a post beam that's too high or something, and fix that. You know, you see a lot of those things. You see a lot of, like, especially when they tear into walls in a remodel, you find all sorts of ugly you don't want to know. And that's what I tell people, like, anytime, like, hey, the least amount of walls you can open up becomes your responsibility after that. Like, don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, just don't do it. Plumbing is the other one where sometimes I see just like the worst sloping I've ever seen in my life. I can't remember the gal. I can't remember the gal that was, we talked to that one time, said she went out to the job site.
Christine.
Yeah. I mean, you see stuff like that all the time, and I'm looking, I'm like, is that fall correct? I'm like, that's not gonna, like, that's not gonna work. You know what I mean?
Plumbing is like crazy. You always run into some crazy stuff in plumbing. I've seen just like
gnarly stuff,
jerry rigged things.
I mean, we just recently did a shower for a friend of our business, and he's like, yeah, it's always smelled kind of funny, right? And I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, maybe it's just what happens with the old mud set pans, like the water just sits in there, you know, even though there's weep holes and stuff, it just never really dries. So it gets kind of a musty smell. It's just inherent. It's not wrong. It's just what it is. I'm like, okay, well, once we tear that out, that'll probably solve the problem, and we'll redo it this other way. Right. Well, then you finally get into it, and then you realize the drain's kind of funky and it's like soft around there. And you're like, all right. And then you look at, you pull the subfloor. We didn't do it. The contractor did pull the subfloor, and the drain, you know, the drain's here, but yet the pipe that it's supposed to go into is above it. So it's like there's a long enough run to where water collected from a height standpoint. You know what I mean? But the problem is, if the drain's here, wherever it's going to fall into down here has to be lower than it from a gravitational standpoint, right? Well, even though there's a huge long pipe, it's slightly above it. So the water would just sit in there. You know what I mean? Until enough water was there to push out the top level of the water, if you would. And you just see stuff like that, and you're going, somebody put this in at some point and thought that was okay. And so, you know, you have to do a lot of rework, and, you know, that he doesn't know. And he's asking my opinion. I'm like, you got to redo this. I'm like, you got to spend the extra couple $1,000 and you got to redo it. Like, you have to do that. There's the only way around it. But you just see a lot of those things, and you just get frustrated. Somebody took their money, and, you know what I mean, and said, yeah, I'll take care of it for you, and, and did this together and made their quick buck and did the least amount of work possible. And you're leaving people, and these are the people, remember going back to my contractor's license. These are the people that are licensed by the state. You know what I mean? All those other kind of things. You're like, have some pride. You know what I mean? Like,
well, some of them aren't.
So there's a whole other level to that too, right?
And then there's that thing of, you know, whether it's the homeowner or the contractor, like there's always someone that makes a decision to cut the corner for savings or something like that. And it's okay. It gets the job done for a few years, but then it's a nightmare for the person that lives there or works there sometime down the line, or whoever it goes to after that, who's probably paying a lot of money for that property. And now they end up with this problem much later that's significant. Usually by the time that they figure it out, it's completely damaged the building.
I mean, you know, there's a good example, like in our house where we redid and we did our garage add on, right? I've seen it before where somebody's doing something to that effect. And obviously you've got a pretty big, heavy header to hold up the garage door area, mm-hmm. right? And so when we add it on, you have two options. Either leave that header there, or you got to re-engineer the trusses and everything to cut that thing out and then take the whole load of that whole weight, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen it before where people are like, well, I don't want that header in there. So they cut the header out and they just try to tie the new stuff into the rafters mm-hmm. without reloading it.
Yeah.
And the contractor tells the person like, yeah, this is fine. We'll just tie into here, here, and here and whatever. But there's a whole weight bearing problem. That's when you start seeing the old houses where they have stuff that sinks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're doing it the wrong way, because aesthetically, this is what I wanted. I don't know any different. And this guy's telling me he can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, those are the types of things that I see all the time. I mean, I've walked into houses where things dropped four inches from one spot to the next.
Jeez.
And you're just like, I mean, it's just huge. And then you go and look at it and there's something that was cut out, or, you know what I mean? Like things that were scabbed on when there was rot or termite damage. And it's like, you can't just slap a new board onto a termite. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of that stuff, like I said, again, which is super frustrating.
Yeah. Right?
And you feel bad. You feel bad for the person because they don't know what they're getting into. And now they're thousands, you know, deeper.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
And then on the even worse is the life safety stuff is devastating to see, because you know what could happen if something does go wrong.
Oh,
you sure. Just see it play out in your head.
But, oh, electrical is the other one too. Oof,
yeah.
Like I'm surprised there's not more house fires.
Oh, I got a lot of stories of a house that I used to live in that was just bad, just all jerry-rigged by people that don't know what they're doing. Maybe I'll share those stories in another episode.
We should share some nightmares and pictures at some point. Great.
But the one thing I wanted to say is last thing we'll finish up, just want to get your opinion on this too, but being in the industry, walking around friends' homes that just buy a home that's a, you know, existing home or whatever, and you're looking around, you're like, huh, okay, or you notice little things and uh-huh. you're trying to bite your tongue. Have you had that sort of situation?
We could have a whole episode on this. I think so I've had friends and family members bring me into a house before and say, what do you think?
Yeah.
Right. And obviously, you know, I give them the first note, which is, hey, without opening walls, I can't tell you everything. And I don't want you to do that. Right. Yeah. So that's the first and foremost thing. So it's like, look, if everything looks good, I don't see sagging, I don't see some damage somewhere. You know, I check all the, you know, plumbing areas, make sure it doesn't seem like there's any leaks and, you know, all those other kind of things. Like there's only so much you can really tell. Right. Yeah. But there are ones that I've walked in and be like, yeah, you want nothing to do with this, where you see kind of the funky patches.
Yeah.
Where you see like new stucco patches mm-hmm. and new drywall patches and the random stuff here and there that even though it's fresh coat of paint, I'm like, that splatter doesn't match that splatter. And there's a reason why. Yeah. And it's at the corner of the house in the back. You know what I mean? And yeah. you're like, and then you look at the roof and then the roof just recently patched. And you're like, no. Like, this is not something we want to do.
Yeah.
So you see stuff like that. But the other thing is there's actually the other side of the coin. I try really hard not to get involved.
Yeah.
That's because true. What happens is they end up wanting your help to fix things and mm-hmm. do stuff, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But what happens to me all the time is like, we don't make money off it, but we, you know, I kind of look at like friends and family, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'd rather give them a really good deal and make sure they get taken care of. You'll never get anything for free from us, mm-hmm. but it's like, I want to make sure you get the right deal and get it done the right way.
Yeah.
And I give them a great deal. I mean, like truly like a great deal.
Right? Yeah.
Inevitably, they always question pricing.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, well, this guy over here is, you know, you get it all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, this guy over here is saying he can do it for X amount of square foot. I'm like, then go get it there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I'm running into that in a current situation right now where I'm like, I'm not here to fight with you. I'm telling you, this is what it takes to do it the right way as we see fit.
Yeah.
This is how I would do it in my own home. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's always a challenge, or I thought it was going to be this, or I thought it was going to be that. And it's just infuriating because you look at them, it's like, well, if you want the cheapest thing, that's fine. But understand that's probably what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And don't ask me to fix it after.
Yeah. Well, let's put a pin in that, and we'll have to do an episode on that probably.
I think everybody's got those stories, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're the ones that always go wrong, by the way. Like, always.
All right. On that note, we're going to sign off today. But thank you so much for listening again. Thank you for joining me, Jason.
Keep us updated on the death trap, though.
Yes, I will. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again on Thursday. Thanks. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at GableMedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with Detailed, an original podcast by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk, and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.